A very good morning to those of you listening from home, from us at Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. We invite you to join us in our morning service for Sunday the 22nd of November, led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. Our lives, scattered on the floor of the world, our limits pushed by stress and its best friend impatience, we come. For here God would gather us, bringing us to the realm of peace. Wondering if truth is fake or worth pursuing, questioning whether anyone is worth following or believing, we come. For here God would feed us with wisdom, sending the one who would lead us to the realm of hope. Questioning the motives of everyone in power, doubting that justice can be found anywhere, we come. For here God brings us to worship with our sisters and brothers, scooping us up from every place we have strayed. Our opening hymn, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. Let us pray. God, as we hail you today, Christ the King, we ponder the kingly image that you portray, a hungry king, a thirsty king, a king bedraggled, homeless, sitting on our curbsides, ignored by your subjects. Quietly you wait for us to notice and take action, to lift you out of the gutter, to clothe you and feed you and care for you. You do not cry out. You simply wait and hope. Christ the King, as your hopes are dashed time and again, awaken us and shake us out of our complacency by your quiet, persistent loving. To you, Christ our King, we bring our lust for power and set it down before your rejection of power. We bring our love of money and place it before your willing poverty. We bring our stubborn pride and set it before your utter humility. We bring our payback mentality and lay it before your mercifulness. We bring our desire for glory and put it before your love of God's glory. We bring our self-interest and rest it before your self-giving. We bring all our vaunted wisdom and lay it before the folly of your cross. Most merciful God, forgive us once again. Enable us to let go of guilt and to take steps to prevent future debacle. Correct the distortions in our thinking and feeling and realign our hopes and ambitions to your will. Let us become in action as well as intention the brothers and sisters of Christ the King. Good news. Great news. God has already forgiven us. Believe it, take it to heart, and live it. In the name of Christ. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Life is full of choices, some big, some small. What shall I have for breakfast? What clothes shall I wear today? Do I watch Strictly, or I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here? Do I take advantage of the Black Friday sales? Do I care, or am I even remotely interested in the football results at the weekend? Should I obey all the lockdown rules? Do I care that the pandemic has meant our church has a lot less money than it needs at the moment? Could I give a little or a lot more to the church to make sure the work can continue? Am I happy to use my skills and time to help get jobs done around the premises? Do I care about what is happening in our world? Do I care that this Sunday is a special Sunday, as it is the last one before Advent begins? It is known as Christ the King, and it is the last time we will be exploring for the passages in Matthew's Gospel. It is also the last one before Craig celebrates his first birthday as our minister. And wow, what a year. And to celebrate, we'll listen later to a reading in which Jesus asks us to decide if we want to be more like a sheep or a goat. In the story, he praises the sheep and condemns the goat. And so, if Jesus wants us to be more like sheep and not goats, we ought to think a little about what he might mean. Let's start with the goats. Goats are typically pushy, self-reliant animals. They are independent and think they know best. Goats do not respond well to shepherding. But Jesus frequently spoke of himself as the shepherd and his followers as sheep. In contrast to the goats, sheep are gentle. They stick together and they rely on their shepherd. Jesus explains in the reading why he calls the sheep righteous. There are those who help other people and there are those who don't. He says those who help other people, the sheep, are helping me, and those who don't help other people, the goats, are hurting me. When Jesus said these words, some people were surprised. When have we been helping you? We didn't know we were doing it. And he gives examples of helping someone who is hungry, or in prison, or thirsty, or sick. These are not the only ways, of course. There are lots of other ways, big and small. But the important thing is that whenever and however we help others, we are helping Jesus. Sheep or goats Are they really so different? How can we tell? How would we know? And which are we? Will we find ourselves on the right side or the left, with the blessed or the cursed? What separates us and how would we fare? A cup of cold water, a scrap of food, some hand-me-downs we can spare? These separate us, sheep from goats. Offering friendship or a visit to the sick, giving of our time and money, quietly and gently helping others. For these little things, God calls us blessed. But also by these little things, God separates the sheep from the goats. So on this Christ the King Sunday, Jesus the King who became a servant's message is simple. Whenever you help others, you help me. He is asking us to recognize God in everyday life and reminds us to care for others. So let us give thanks for all those who give of their time and money to support and help others. And let us rededicate ourselves to use our skills and talents so that we are more like the sheep in the story than the goats. Amen.
Our second hymn, O Lord, all the world belongs to you.
Reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
The very first thing that happens upon arrival at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry is the sorting of the first-year students into houses. That is, of course, after receiving an invitation by outpost to register, stopping off at the magical Diagon Alley to buy a wand, cauldron, and other needed items, getting to King's Cross Station and finding the very magical platform 9 3/4 for a train ride into the countryside, and then being ferried across the moat in the darkness to a large castle. The animated hat will assess the new student's abilities, wishes, and whatnot, and then loudly proclaim what house the student will join: Hufflepuff, Slytherin, Gryffindor, or Ravenclaw. Houses are much more than residences in this magical boarding school. They compete against one another in sports, behaviour, and marks to be the winner,
and so have the house colours displayed in the school dining room. Harry Potter, the boy that survived an attempt on his life by the evil Voldemort, is sorted into Gryffindor at the beginning of the first book, and at the very end of the series his young son is sent off on the Hogwarts Express with some fatherly advice on the sorting hat process. Though few of us have been to such a school, most of us will have had an experience of rivalry between schools and community teams. In today's Gospel passage, it is the Son of Man returned in glory, not a tattered witch's hat, who does the sorting. What are the criteria of this sorting, and what are the results? The criteria are the giving of aid to the Son of Man in prison, when hungry, when without clothing or in some kind of need, or of not giving aid in these cases. One group did not do it and became designated as goats. One group did, even though they had not recognized the Son of Man when they were helping people in need, and they were classed as sheep. The sorting of sheep from goats was a common and regular event in the lives of farmers in Jesus' day. Apparently they grazed together, but had to be separated on occasion, perhaps for shearing, perhaps for milking. Notice that we seem to be talking about the faithful here. They both address the king as Lord. For a faithful person or nation, it seems obvious that if they had seen the Son of Man in need, they would have helped. But all they saw was a homeless person, a person who was hungry, a man in prison, a woman with no clothing for her children. They did not see Jesus. The sheep people, on the other hand, did not see Jesus in the one in need either, but they clothed, fed, and befriended anyway. Why sheep? Why goats? Perhaps sheep had a better reputation than goats, but whatever the differences were have largely been lost in the centuries since, and it's not really important anymore anyway. It seems to me that maybe obsessing about the two animals wasn't really the point of the story. For modern readers not familiar with a pastoral lifestyle or animal husbandry, sheep and goats don't necessarily mean much. Modern sports fans might make a better connection with the division of City and United, whereas Broadway aficionados of Bernstein and Sondheim might relate more readily to the separation of the Sharks and the Jets. The point is this. Use any two common images that work for you, but remember, the focus is on Jesus. It's Christ the King Sunday, after all. Just who is this King of everything? Who is this Jesus to be found with the least, the lost, the poor, and the imprisoned? How are we supposed to know to look for God in the dark and dirty places of the world? We look for the winners, not the losers in life. Both Team Goat and Team Sheep expressed surprise at where Jesus was hiding in plain sight. He'd been right there with them in the midst of daily life in all its mundane messiness, rather than holed up with the holy in the temple or marooned on some majestic mountaintop. It's not even in the recognition that Jesus is interested. He's focused on action. There is a problem with this passage, though. Weren't we told that the faithful are saved by grace? Weren't we warned against trying to earn our way into heaven? Weren't we told that we couldn't possibly earn God's favour? It's at this point that we must be very careful. As I consider this passage, I would say that this life is not a set of things which must be done to achieve salvation. It's not like the recipe on a packet of cake mix. Add 3 eggs, a half cup of oil and a quarter cup of water, pour in a pan and bake at 220 degrees until done. It doesn't work that way. You could say that true Christian faith is like a cook who no longer needs to measure anything, whose recipes have not only been memorized, but internalized, so that it's known by look and feel when the thing is ready for the oven. There is no recipe for Christian faith. There is no precise roadmap. There is just this guidebook for what we call a way of being in the world. It does not tell us what to do in every situation. That would not be possible. It gives us principles. Love God with all that you have and love your neighbour as much as you love yourself. It speaks of the praise of God by giving praise. It speaks of hope by uttering words of hope, and it speaks to despair by uttering those words as well. It speaks to the struggle of honest faith by uttering honest words. We also have the guidance that comes from the lives of the saints, those common and not so common faithful ones who have sought and lost, who have journeyed and fallen short, who have continued on, and who at each step of the way did what they could for others while never losing sight of the goal which draws them onward. We must never lose sight of the goal, but we must not let it blind ourselves to the call of the present. Team Goat may have been all about keeping a lookout and being ready, but they totally overlooked the King of everything around and within them. They were saving their big effort for the King who shows up looking and acting like royalty. In doing so, they failed to see Jesus at all. Team Sheep may have been looking for the King, but they weren't sitting around chewing cud and rolling in the grass to kill time. They were busy taking care of neighbours in need and ministering to folk within and outside of their communities. Whether we see ourselves as sheep, goats, Broadway teenage gangs, or die-hard Premier League fans, the King of everything is interested in what we're doing with our days and hours, and with whom we're in relationship and how that is expressed. If we're simply spending time with others who are just like us, doing as little as possible, whiling away the hours, thinking about Christ's second coming, it seems we likely have another think coming. By contrast, if we're about living each moment to its fullest, in the business of cultivating relationships, tending to the needs of friend and neighbour, and enemy too, and wading into life's most difficult places and situations with the light of Christ shining brighter than LED Christmas lights, then we're definitely on the right track. Taking another look at the passage, you may notice that both the goats and the sheep call Jesus Lord. Both would have considered themselves faithful to the gospel. Both would do what was required if they saw a connection with their faith. After all, biologists will tell us that sheep and goats are not really all that different. What is the difference in this parable? I think that the point is that the goats are not bad people, and the sheep really win no points for being astute or spiritually aware, but they acted in love anyway. A lot is made about the ultimate fate of the sheep and goats in this story, some going to paradise, some to hell. But I think what's really at the heart here is the surprise of how much difference what they did when they didn't know what they were doing made. When did we, Lord? They ask over and over. Both groups ask. If you did it to one of the least of these, you did it for me. The reign of Christ, or Christ the King, is often celebrated with pageant and processionals. Yet the real processional is when Christ comes into us and we say, "Yes, Lord." Open the gates that the King of glory may come in. They open when we look and see the face of Christ in others. They open when we hear him say, "You give them something to eat," and do it. They open when we hear him say, "Love one another," and we do it. They open when we do what he says. As a colleague of mine has written, both the sheep and the goats are clueless. Neither group realized what they were doing for the most vulnerable in our society, or were failing to do. The sheep are surprised when they are praised for their actions, however unintentional. The goats are shocked that apparently there were opportunities they missed and people they apparently overlooked. How could this be, they asked. How could this be, we wonder to ourselves. Maybe it has less to do with intention and or action, and more to do with seeing. When we look at the hungry, Do we see a little child whose body is slowly wasting away, or a dysfunctional family? When someone stops us on a hot day and asks for a cool drink, do we see a parched brother or sister, or a beggar? When someone who dresses differently from us or talks funny comes to our church, do we see a possible new friend or a potential threat? When we meet someone who shivers in winter's blast because all they have is a thin shirt, do we see a person to whom we could offer a warm jacket or someone who obviously makes poor choices? When we hear that a friend has been sentenced for a crime, do we wonder what happened and reach out to them, or are we convinced that they got what they deserved? When it comes to the hungry and thirsty, the naked and the strangers, the sick and the imprisoned, what eyes do we use? Do we use the eyes of judgment, of rationality, of cultural standards, of unrealistic expectations, of media hype? Or do we use what the letter to the Ephesians calls the eyes of the heart, eyes that have been opened by the grace of our God, eyes that overflow with tears over the brokenness all around us, eyes that are able to see oppression where others see a different way of governing, eyes that see abuse when others see discipline, eyes that see hope where others see no other way of treating others. As we approach this Christmas season, do we see with Easter eyes? Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. When I needed a neighbour, were you there?
Oh, I was there. And now, our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. God, our Father, our Shepherd and Servant King, our Lord, whose Son is enthroned above all power and dominion and encountered in the poorest of the poor. We have so many ways to describe our relationship with you. Help us to learn from you and to encounter you in all the complexity of our human relationships. We pray for all who exercise leadership in our world, for politicians and heads of state, for military commanders, for leaders in industry, commerce, schools and colleges, and in every sphere of life where human beings have responsibility for one another. Give them courage and integrity to act with justice and compassion, and to resist the pressures of expediency, favoritism, or the desire for power that so easily undermine good government. We pray for the Church, for renewed vision and understanding of the leadership you desire for your people. Help us discern when we can learn from the world and when you call us to be different from the world. Give confidence to those whom you have called and empower them with your Spirit to lead and serve. We pray for people who have suffered because of bad leaders, for those denied food, medicine, or justice, because of corruption or incompetence, for those who have been abused or exploited by someone in authority over them. Bring your healing and justice into every place where trust has been damaged and responsibility treated with contempt. We pray for all who are most needy in our world and for those who work to help them. We pray especially for those who attract less attention and care because their plight is unusual or repulsive, or because they are perceived to be undeserving. Give to us all such care and concern for others that we may gladly respond to do what is in our power. Open our eyes to recognize Christ in all who need us, and our hearts to receive his blessing through their vulnerability. Amen.
Our final hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West. May Christ the King give you the secret of his humble contentment, and the grace to be thankful for whatever this new week brings, to be glad for those who encourage you and civil to those who offend you, to know when to speak and when to be silent, when to act and when to pray. And may the blessing of that same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.